Greetings, lovely listeners. You are listening to Saga, a podcast where a dude and a chick discuss art and animation. Spoiler alert, this audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Saga Podcast. We don't have any news for you today, but we are going to start by discussing the movie Nocturna. This is about a young boy named Tim who gets swept into a world of night by mysterious creatures. As an orphan, Tim is deeply afraid of the dark. He relies heavily on the stars to keep him company, while the rest of his orphanage criticizes him for his fears. It is up to Tim, the cat named Tobamori, and the cat shepherd, to save the stars from disappearing from the sky so that Tim can finally relieve his insomnia. So this was such a beautiful animation, and I'm so glad that you suggested it, this Garrison, because it's like such a nostalgic feel to it. I don't know
exactly. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, like I don't know how else to describe this other than it was like my first impression. I don't know, it reminded me of Monsters, Inc. a little bit, like, you know, like the monsters under your bed, like alone at night, it's dark, and all you want to see is a little bit of light, but you can't. And, you know, I don't know, I've never lived in an orphanage, but I'm sure there's a lot more judgment around that when you are in a room full of other people, and there's other people trying to judge you for who you are. So, I don't know, what did you think about this, Garrison?
This was definitely, like, this definitely had, like, a timeless feel to it, and it sort of had like Tim Burton-esque like a feel to it, and it's like styling, and it's like shadows and like the characters and stuff, and your comment about Monsters, Inc. I think you've got a point, because in Monsters, Inc. the monsters like came to the human world to like scare kids, to like power their like factory, to like power their world. But in this, like they'll like these night creatures scatter into the city to cause different night things to happen, like the morning dew, or like the wind howling, things like that. And I thought that was pretty neat.
Right, it was like that the night was the reason the day existed, almost.
Sure, I don't think that I don't really quite get that, but I'll take your word for it. Tim
was afraid of the dark, and that's pretty much why he wanted the like his knob to the window door. It's like the window blind thing, so he could open it up to like let the light shine in from his star to like help him go to sleep. And this is a pretty good story for kids in that it basically tells you to like face the darkness because it can't hurt you.
As kids, we don't know that. We don't realize what the darkness has to bring because, you know, it's the unknown. And what's more fearful than the unknown?
Yeah, I probably could have used this movie when I was a kid. Actually, I still need it, really. I'm actually kind of still afraid of the dark.
Well, you know, at least there's nightlights for that.
Well, okay, so I can sleep in the dark is just like walking in the dark in an unknown room kind of deal.
Yeah, like you don't know what's, like you could stub your toe at any time.
Or like, you know, like, don't you get like this, this like a tickle in the back of your neck when you walk like that? It feels like something's breathing on me.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Like, okay, so side story. I used to have dreams of like aliens, like, you know, like the fourth kind kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I used to have dreams of aliens that would come into my room, but I thought that they were owls at first, but then I watched The Fourth Kind and I was like, nah, they're aliens. They're for sure aliens. I've been probed.
I've got news for you.
That's okay.
Yeah, that wasn't a dream. Yeah, sorry about that. This movie, you want to talk about some of the characters? Some of the characters?
Yeah, so my favorite characters are probably like the hairdresser ladies. Like they're the ones that make your hair all crazy right when you wake up, and it's, I thought that was just too charming.
Yeah, like that one, and like the one that like cut your sheets to like make like your lay, like how when you sleep, like you pull the, like it's, it seems like the blanket gets shorter but it doesn't, and I don't know, that I just thought that was pretty cool too. Tim was pretty neat. I think what I like most about Tim, he didn't take no shit, you know. He was on a mission and he didn't let anything stop him, and I really think that like the voice actor for that, like he had a really like a commanding like young adolescent voice, and yeah, I liked him.
Yeah, Tim is a pretty impressive character in that like he is not afraid to be different. Like every night he will always do this routine because he knows that it suits him and no one else understands that. And so he doesn't care what other kids think about him because he knows that this is what he needs to do to survive. And I related quite a bit to that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he really seemed to like not let anything faze him, even though it seemed like the kids hated his guts.
I think it was just because he's different.
And yeah, so yeah, the kids pretty much hated him, and I don't know why.
He did a pretty good kick, though. He had a pretty hard, yeah, like a hard kick.
And, well, yeah, that, and I guess he isn't good at, like, kickball, and he kicked the ball straight down into the dark basement, and, if his goal was to go to the basement, then yeah, but so talking about the kickball thing, this is just me like spitballing here, but could okay, so when he first kicked the ball, do you think there was some kind of like performance anxiety where he knew that the kids were like they like felt a certain way about him, so he was like tense and he wasn't loose, so that messed up his kick? But during the end of the movie, you know, when he was playing kickball, he like at that point he had gained like new confidence because he could face the darkness. So do you think that was like a message in that like facing a fear can like bring you like a new perspective, like new confidence?
Oh yeah, definitely. I don't know if it was like bravery that sent him down or fear for of other kids that sent him down too. Because they basically threatened him. Like, watch out, if you don't get that ball, I'm gonna come after you. Like, you'll be sorry. And then he ended up being sorry at the end because he couldn't get kickball.
Yeah. So I kind of wanna talk about like perhaps Tim's psychology a bit. And I just thought about this. All right, so So we start out the movie in an orphanage with Tim. You know, Tim's an orphan, and something must have happened to his parents. Let's just say they died for simplicity's sake. So he lost his parents. So he needed something to attach to, right? And the kids weren't doing that for him. So he found the star, right? So that was sort of his like new surrogate, like pacifier. So once he lost his star, you know, he was lost, right? He was lost. So he looked for a new surrogate in Cat Shepherd. And once Cat Shepherd, quote unquote, died, the star came back, but that doesn't really solve the problem, does it? Right? Because he still needs that, but I guess at the same time, he is still a kid, so I guess it's expected.
Yeah, sad. But I mean, that's the thing though, is like, I think a lot of what childhood it is overcoming your fears, and especially as like an orphan, like you have more fears to overcome because one, you don't know who you are. Two, you don't have any guidance other than your peers. And three, everything is new. Everything is new. So when you come across certain people and characters and things, you know, you might be more liable to latch on to them than a normal individual, a neurotypical individual. If we're talking about psychology, I feel like it's harder for orphaned or adopted children to set a boundary in that way.
That's good. That's good. Bravo. So some other characters, there was Cat Shepherd, Tobamori, the cat, the Maka.
Oh. I thought that was so clever.
What, the Maka?
Yeah, Mocha.
What? I don't, what's that?
Well, okay, so Mocha is the character that is in charge of Nocturna, which is like the city of the night, basically. And like, he orchestrates everything that goes on, all of the individuals, all the workers. But his name is Mocha, and he drinks coffee constantly. I think just to be able to function. And I thought that was so clever because like, what business person do you know that doesn't drink coffee constantly to be like perky?
Okay, so that's his name then, because he drinks coffee.
Yeah, I thought it was spelled Mocha like M-O-C-H-A, but it's Maka like M-O-K-A, and I don't know if that's different spelling because it's French. I don't think so. I think Mocha is a French term.
Interesting. It's interesting. There's also like Mr. P, and Murray, the lightning bug, and the Shadow. The Shadow, once that character came in, the sequence where like it was taking all the lights and it like consumed the moon, that was pretty chilling. That was pretty cool. I really liked that scene. And Tobamori sort of served as a comic relief, and this movie had really subtle comedy, and watching Abominable from like last week and other movies that we've talked about, I'm not really, maybe I'm just kind of like jaded at this point, but I don't really like the mainstream children's animation brand of comedy. Like, is this really it's really over the top and it's kind of the same joke constantly.
Yeah, and I can agree with you there. I mean, a lot of it is like lowbrow comedy when you're talking about like Disney, Pixar, any of the studios, DreamWorks. Ever since Shrek, I think it's been like kind of lowbrow for like the big budget films. Simply because it makes money. I think a lot of what like the mainstream animations have taught us is it's hard to say because I'm not from this new generation. You know, I'm a millennial, so I grew up with some really good authentic animation that came out of Disney, but ever since they started formulating this one formula that they stuck with, it's been the same thing over and over and over again, and it's hard to get them out of that, so it's tough.
Right. You saying that, there are two future movies that I have hopes for that maybe don't do this so much. And one is Space Jam 2. I really like the Looney Tunes comedy. That's like really good stuff to me.
That's Warner Brothers though, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. And there's also the animated Scooby-Doo movie that they announced like last week or something.
Right.
That, and Scooby-Doo usually has like a different kind of humor. So hopefully those make some different calls. But as for Nocturna, I'm pretty sure this movie confirms Flat Earth. they were in a dome, right? Like the stars were like on the ceiling on strings, and they were like encased.
I'm sorry, what? Okay, all right, it's a bit of a stretch there. But I see what you're saying. It doesn't confirm it, but in this child's dream, maybe he's thinking, you know, it's like you don't really know what's up there, so you're like, I don't know, children are dumb. They think that stars are hanging from strings. I used to do that in my room. I used to hang like stars from my ceiling, just thumbtacked to the ceiling. But that was just for fun. I always knew that the stars were balls of gas. Ooh. Okay. So yeah, that's my theory. So when Tim is on the roof in the very beginning, and this is like 10 minutes in, this isn't very far, he is on the roof and he almost falls off. But then all of a sudden, something grabs onto him. And guess who it is? It's Cat Shepherd, his guardian of the night. And I think he might have died, but and had this like entire fantasy and maybe dreamt it all in the midst of his death. I don't know. It's a theory, but I feel like it's a pretty strong one. He probably died.
So do you think this was a dream, or do you think that this really happened, or do you think that Tim died?
They did, yeah. 9 lives. It's dark, but I mean, if you live in an orphanage and no one's really there watching you over you, but accidents happen. I mean, think of like the child that drowned because he thought that he was gonna go visit SpongeBob. Like, kids can be pretty dumb when you're not looking.
You saying that sort of got me to thinking about the Tim Burton Batman movie with Catwoman, and how like didn't she die and like the cats took her in or something and resurrected her? So maybe he did die. Wow. And that explains.
Oh my god.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really gotta look out for people. Cause there was actually a couple of things. Like, I remember, didn't a kid get stuck in a microwave? I think that happened like a few years ago. Like they somehow got themselves stuck in a microwave, and they died. And one that stuck with me for a while. Do you know Naruto the anime? There was this kid on the news that he like somehow, okay, so in the show there's this character that can control sand, so in real life I guess this kid must have somehow buried himself in a sandbox and he ended up like dying. And yeah, you really got to look out for your kids, you know, you got to teach them.
Yeah, media from reality and, you know, fantasy. Yeah, definitely. You know, some kids get so lost in their fantasies that they don't realize the consequence of their actions. And so that's when we get adults that do stupid stuff, like going into somebody else's apartment when it's not yours and shooting somebody else. That's what happens. It's, yeah.
That's poignant. yeah, heavy stuff here. Anything else?
Let me think. So this movie was directed by Adria Garcia and Victor Maldonado. The budget was 5 million euros, but that's not really like a for sure, you know, number. But it didn't make very much, which is kind of sad because it only made about like 17 or like 1.7 million dollars worldwide. It's kind of sad because this is such a good film, and I'm glad that you recommended it because I don't know if I would have known about it otherwise.
Yeah, I think in regards to animation, like North America and like Japan, like probably make the most recognizable like worldwide things. But I think like France, like French stuff and like Spanish stuff is pretty underrated. And I do have some like things in mind that I want to talk about in regards to like French and Spanish stuff. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to talking more about those.
Yeah, I mean, we need to see more films. Like, we've seen a lot of Japanese films, but we haven't seen many like African films, many European films, many South American films. So I'd like to see more of those, just to see what the cultural difference is, because I'm sure there's a huge gap there. And I don't think there was that big of a gap in this film between like how Americans view children and how maybe French people do. But there was a slight difference in maybe the city layout and how things were so fantasized in this film. Because I know that, and this is a French film, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I think it's like French and like Spanish or something.
Okay, yeah, it would make sense with the directors. I don't know who wrote this, but it would make sense if it was French because of how huge the city was when they ventured out into the city. And I think there were several different aspects of animation that took place in this film, including 2D and some 3D animation, for how they laid out the city and how they featured their perspective of this. And that was one thing I really noticed a lot in this film, is how massive everything looked in this film. Much like Cat Soup, like how we watched how large things were in comparison to the characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like, you could really feel the size of the city, and it really felt sprawling. And when I was watching it, it sort of crossed my mind as like what the nightlife of the city would be for humans, and it got me to like thinking about what was going on inside of the buildings, right? And I think that's a testament to just how well that they crafted this world.
I agree. Yeah, it seemed like it could have gone on forever.
Yeah, but it didn't, because they're in a dome with like a fake ceiling and fake stars.
Yeah, okay. You and your flat earth theory, that's okay. Yeah, so this movie is available on Amazon. That's where I purchased the rent fee for just a small price. Yeah, definitely watch this film. So good. Worth the watch. And I think next week what we have in store for you is a movie called Sound and Fury, which was recently released on Netflix. So we'll have that for you next week.
And please share us with your friends and family, as we would love to continue this podcast about your favorite animations. All of the information here is researched by Sarah and Garrison, and this podcast is produced and edited by Sarah Zaudrey. Special thanks to Joshua Phillips for the theme music. All while doing our research, we come across some amazing little videos and shots about the process of animation, and we will be happy to share this information with you on our site,
www.podsaga.com.
And if you have any questions about the animations we will be covering, please don't hesitate to ask. Thank you, and have a good day.